Hi, I'm Scott, and it's another episode of Azure Friday. We've got David Ebbo.
Hi.
And you always bring me great stuff. You showed me Kudu, and it changed my life. What do you have to change my life with today?
Azure Resource Explorer.
All right.
So what Azure Resource Explorer is a website that lets you both learn about the Azure API, mm-hmm. the new Azure API called Azure Resource Manager, as well as really administer your site. And you know, you can make get calls to view the state of your object, and you can make put calls and posts. You can basically do anything that is supported by the API, mm-hmm. but it's a lot easier to do than if you were to use, you know, straight REST, because you know, you start having probably zero knowledge about what the API shape is like. Here, you get to discover the API, so it's both a learning tool and a tool where you can get work done.
I see, because the Azure API surface is quite large.
Yes,
and
yes.
When I'm doing basic stuff, very basic stuff, sometimes I use like the xplat CLI, mm-hmm. and I say Azure VM list --json, and it gives me kind of a pseudo result of a
right.
Of a
that,
get.
Yes, that's
but
some reflection.
But it's not representative of the complexity of the API.
Exactly.
But then reading documentation is no fun either.
Yes, not only that, but we haven't always been good with documentation. So this, in a sense, also plays the part of documentation when there are holes in the more official documentation.
Mm-hmm. Is this the complete surface area of the Azure?
It is
API?
Not. The way this works is that it gets its metadata from a variety of places. Mm-hmm. So there are many resource providers in Azure. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't know anything specific about resource provider, it just gets what ARM can tell it, which is the presence of the resource provider. It'll tell you if you have a resource of a type. It'll give you. It can make a GET call, so you'll see what that has. But if you don't have any objects, you won't really see anything. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if it's one of the providers for which we have a specification, which comes in the form of a Swagger file, mm-hmm. Then it has much richer metadata, which includes documentation and things like that.
We've talked a little bit about Swagger before. I look at it as being kind of like WSDL, a description
yes,
language
yes, yes.
for curly braces. It's
right.
for RESTful web services.
Exactly, yes. So this is what it looks like when you first go to Azure Resource Explorer. The URL is simply resources.azure.com.
And I see that there's a drop down on the right there, so you can pick your different Azure subscriptions.
Exactly. Well, actually, these are not subscriptions. These are tenants.
Oh, tenants.
So it's similar to what you would see in the portals. The subscriptions are actually here on the left pane.
Okay.
So yeah, there's always that double concept. The first, you have to find your tenant, which typically is like your email address, one versus two.
It's a good reminder.
Yes.
Okay.
And so let's drill a little bit, and let's go and find a website.
So we've drilled into your tenant,
yes.
your MSDN subscription.
That's
and
my subscription.
Groups.
These are all the resource groups I have within that subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And if I pick this test RG here, which I just created before, we can see within this provider, so it only has resources that are Microsoft.web, which is basically Azure Web Apps.
Okay.
Within that, it has Server Farms, which is the API name for app hosting. Okay, I'm not getting the name right.
App hosting plans, right?
App hosting plan, thank you.
Sure.
Actually,
so,
it's called App Service Plan.
App
now.
Service
I'm
Plan.
Sorry.
So, okay, so here's Microsoft.web. It says show all, and then it has these two things.
That's right.
Are we not seeing everything here?
Yes. So right now, it's only showing the providers for which there is actually existing resources
in. That makes sense.
If I click show all, it's going to show me a ton of things.
Things you don't have, necessarily.
Right.
Providers. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, ergo. So you got like pretty much
right.
everything under
have,
the sun here.
Yeah, you don't have Bing Maps here. You have all
exactly.
your websites. Interesting. Okay.
So let's drill a bit deeper. And if I look at Server Farms, so I have one app service plan in here called My Plan, which I created. So typically, in the way it works in web apps, so you create a plan which kind of represents your, say, the VMs that are behind the sites.
Right.
And then within the plan, you can put one or more sites.
Mm-hmm.
And here, this plan, if I look at it, we can see that it is a free plan in free mode.
And so, just to put a real fine point on this, you're calling the same APIs that the portal calls.
Exactly, exactly.
That if I had written automation tools that I'm calling,
it would be the same.
There's nothing fake here. You're really calling
right.
the same APIs.
It's exactly the same. And of course, when we talk about the portal, we're talking about the preview portal because the older portal doesn't use the same API.
Right.
It uses
so we're
the
talking
old...
about portal.azure.com.
Exactly.
This is almost like backstage.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's really, you can look at it as a very low-level portal, in a sense. It's just an API-level portal, whereas when the portal does all its magic, you don't really know what calls are being made, and one action may make like multiple calls. Here, this is straight REST. So we're saying that we're making really just a GET call, and it actually shows you the full API that it's making. So if you don't know like the shape, we can see, well, we're going to management.azure.com. Let me zoom in here, and we see the subscription ID and the name of the resource group, provider Microsoft.web. And in fact, everything we see in here is an exact reflection of what we saw in the tree. With a very small modification that here, the subscription is shown as its friendly name, whereas the URL has the GUID. But
that is very RESTful. You are exploring this resource tree with simple gets.
Yes.
And then within them, getting the idea of what you just require and then digging even deeper. And
that's
you can
right.
see here that you made a free plan in the West US.
Uh-huh. And within that plan, we can see the sites that are in the resource group. I think I only have one site here. So I have some sites called some sites, I think, because that's
Test
the original. And here again, I'm making a call, a GET call on the site itself, which give me a bunch of information, including the host names here. I can also go deeper, say, into the config object and see the app settings that are in this site. So I have
a
couple
see
here.
Yeah, version of Node. You put in a custom app setting there. You can probably see your environment variables, all that stuff. These are going to turn
right.
into environment variables.
Well, app settings do turn into environment variables.
You've got your, and even in your logs.
Yes, well, logs, no, you don't view your logs here. This is the API to enable and disable logging, as you would see in a portal. You want your HTTP log, you want it to go to file system versus, so this is a reflection. This is the API that's behind it.
That makes sense.
And config web is also the main kind of config API that has a bunch of stuff, the default document, your
Let me ask you this,
version.
Though. This was a GET to show me things like default documents. Can I change that?
Yes, you can. So in fact, I can show you that now. So if you go to the top here, I can click Edit, and I now have this. And let's say I wanted to just yank some random default document. I go back to the top. I say Put.
Seriously, is that easy?
So the first time you use the tool, we have sort of a safety to make sure that you really want to be able to modify stuff. So you have to go up here.
Because it is quite low level.
Yes, it can be. You know, in the wrong hand, you could delete a lot of resources. So now I can do Put. And once it's done, we should see, I forget what I deleted, but it's gone.
The index.php?
Yes.
Somehow I thought it would be, I don't know, harder or scarier than that. I mean, you literally hit edit. I thought it was going to go to some complicated form. You just said, no, I want it like this.
Yes,
and
you pretty much edit the existing payload. I mean, the whole point is that when you do a GET, things can be round-tripped. So, the content of the GET, you change it. You put it back, boom, you got something
and it
different.
Should, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Yes, yes. Let me show you another thing. We have a nice search at the top. So if I was to close this and I want to find my site, because sometimes you could have a lot of resource group, I do some site and boom, I directly get to it.
And it automatically navigates to that.
Yes. Yes.
What is actions?
Action, that's where I was getting next, is, that's a concept in ARM, in Azure Resource Manager. You can get and put resources, but sometimes you also have action, which are something that's done with the post verb. Typical example of action is I want to start my site, I want to stop my site, and this lets you do just that. So
these are different from what you did before, where you got something, modified it, and posted it back.
That's right.
These are like almost like methods.
In a sense, yes, because it's when you do a put, you're kind of putting the state of the object, but something like start and stop is not considered really the state of the object. It's more of an action you're doing on the object.
I see.
There's a semantical distinction. Mm-hmm. So here, if I click stop, it's stopping my site.
I see. So it posts to that resource
group. It posts
group.
To, so it's going to be
and
the
I bet
the
it
whole
says slash start or the slash stop at the end.
Exactly.
Look at that.
Where was it?
There
yes,
it is.
Exactly. Right.
And stop.
So I'm going to restart it. Let me show you the documentation aspect of it. If I click on this tab here, it's showing me for the current node that I'm in, which is in this case a site, what all the properties mean.
Now, if you mentioned Swagger. Is this fed from that?
That is exactly coming from the Swagger. If I go to some other node, config, say, web, and same deal. We see all of that. And to quickly show you that this is not limited to web apps, I have a resource group where I have, say, a database. I can see Microsoft SQL. Mm-hmm. I can see my database. That's the server. Inside here, I have a database. Same deal, I think. Yeah, maybe for this one, there is no metadata for the documentation, so it's not as rich. But generally, you will see any resources. So,
what's that PowerShell tab?
So that's a good one. So PowerShell, let's see. Let me do it with the database to show you how generic it is. The idea is sometimes you want to learn how to do something with PowerShell, and it can be pretty hard. With this thing, you click on PowerShell, and let me just grab all of this here and paste it in ISE, and it basically shows me how to do via PowerShell the command that will get me the equivalent of what I just did.
So, and does PowerShell make the same RESTful call?
Oh yeah, in the end it's the exact same call. So interesting note about PowerShell is that there's really two kind of PowerShell commands, and I'm not talking about the old style versus the Azure Resource Manager. Within the world of Azure Resource Manager, you can make either high-level PowerShell call, meaning like if a commandlet has been specifically designed to create a VM or do stuff like that. But here, this is actually using a much lower level kind of commandlets, which are basically REST operation. All it's doing is get Azure Resource, remove Azure Resource, set Azure Resource.
So let me see if I understand. There might be a get database or get VM.
Yes.
But this is the more generic. And then if you scroll up a little bit, you actually said resource type, and that's the generic kind of resource.
Exactly. So that's how, you know, the really Azure Resource Explorer has no knowledge of the high level PowerShell because there's unfortunately no metadata that leads to that. And in many cases, they don't even exist. But by using the low-level one, we can do we can essentially make any ARM call via PowerShell. And it may look like a little bit more complex because it's not like a friendly command that says, oh, give me information about my VM. It's, oh, get Azure Resource. And you're essentially piecing together a full path. But the point is, since it gives it to you like for free, it will let you automate anything you want, even if the command looks somewhat scary in itself.
That's very cool. But it's also generic because it allows you to write scripts that deal with resources at that level. So you have choice.
That's right. And you can also, let me quickly show you how to make a chain. So let's go back to some site here. So let's say we want to, let's go into config, web. I'll just grab.
Did you write these or it generated that? You generated
No, this is all completely generated.
That's amazing.
That's why it works,
you know. That's amazing. That's why it works. I love it.
That's why it works for
That's
free.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And let me go back here. So let's run.
Self-documenting, and it writes its own PowerShell. That's fantastic.
So if I do a get on this one, it should give us all the properties. And let's change one. It looks messy on here, but say PHP version.
Sure.
It was 5.5. So let's try to change that. I think it should be as simple as doing PHP version equal, say, 5.4. And I'll just kind of select all that and press F8. And let's make sure it worked by going back here and clicking Get. And here it is.
That's amazing. So. Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. This is fantastic. So resources.azure.com.
Yes.
And people who have Azure subscriptions can look at this right now.
Absolutely.
Very cool. We're having all sorts of fun learning about Azure and resources.azure.com here on Azure Friday.